Hello, everybody.
Hey, Joanna, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I sent a message to Talia the other day about, I was super excited that you mentioned in last week's class that there are recordings for the Q&A, and I've been missing the Q&A, and I was excited to hear that there are actual recordings, and I couldn't find it in the portal. So I sent Talia a message. She sent it back to me saying, oh, here's a link. It's in the Q&A. Scroll all the way down to the bottom. And I responded back to her saying, I don't see a single link anywhere to any Q&A recording. And I haven't heard back from her.
Okay, well, I can't answer that question because I'm
No,
bad with
that's okay,
that.
but just to put it on.
She was out of the office yesterday, so if you were waiting to hear back right away, that might be why. But let me make a note
Okay.
to check in with her. It might be that the team has to like reset your member center. I don't know. I'm making it up. I have no idea what the tech part of it, but we will get it sorted out for you
Sounds
for
good. Thank you.
sure. Yeah, thanks for asking. Oh, Doris is saying they were having issues. Talia said they were having issues with that page. Okay, I'll double check in about that. Sometimes the team tries to let me not know when there are things like that going on, just so I have one less thing to worry about since I can't control it. But I will check in and we will get it sorted out for sure. Thanks for letting me know. Okay. I'm so happy to be here. We in a couple minutes are going to be jumping into our questioning practicum. But before we do two things, first of all, I want to welcome Nikki to our group. I'm so glad you're here, Nikki. Nikki is just joining us now, and I know that you're catching up on recordings, and it's perfect timing. So it's great to see you. I've heard so many wonderful things about you, and I'm so happy that you're here. And I just want to welcome you on behalf of everyone. The other thing that I wanted to make sure that I mentioned today is about the small group cohorts. I know that in some ways we've gotten off to a little bit of a rocky tech start with the cohorts. And first, I just want to acknowledge that. And I want to acknowledge that it can be a little dysregulating when the technology isn't working and we know we have to be there for a call and it's not letting us in and all of that. I have been there myself, both on the participant end of things, which is nervous making, and then on the facilitator end of things, which is even more nervous making. But anyway, so first, I just want to acknowledge and honor that it's been a little bit of up and down start because it's been hard for some folks to get in. And while I can't guarantee all Zoom problem, all Zoom issues will always work as well as they can. I know that the team and Imbal have checked and double checked and fixed the Zoom link and triple checked. And so that is all set. And also, we're going to make sure, in addition to Imbal, that we have a backup person. Just in case Imbal can't get in, that we have a backup person that's letting you all in when you come in to the small group cohort. So we are working it as much as we can on our end, and I just apologize for, I know it's been a little tough. And I think because it's been a little tough, what I want for the small group cohorts is because there's so much for those of you that are participating in them. There's just so much there for you. It can be so powerful to get together and go deeper with the conversations. I know so many of you have experienced it. So what I really want is kind of an energetic reset for those groups, where we're kind of taking all the good, but kind of just, restarting with new, fresh energy. And my invitation to you is, even if it's been hard, if you sense there's something for you to receive there, please come, please show up. The conversations are incredible. It's great to connect with other people in the program in this more intimate way. Ideally, like in a perfect world, Inbal and I would want everybody to show up for every call, so that way it can be a s consistent group through the cycle, and without kind of switching things around. But I also know that life is life, and sometimes it can't happen. So please, when you can, show up, because your group members are in some ways counting on you. But if there's some times that you can't, that's okay. Inbal will rearrange, and it all always works out. On the piece about having somebody lead each time, I just want to invite you to take initiative, use it as a opportunity to be in your leadership. I want to say take turns, but I know the groups are a little bit different each time because of attendance. So, like if you sense it's your turn, take the initiative. Practice leading. Anybody have any questions on the small group cohorts? No? All right. So, as we step into our questioning practicum for today, the practicum is going to be very similar in form to our listening practicum and to our creating awareness practicum. We're going to be isolating the questioning muscle, if you will, today, and really practicing that questioning muscle. In a couple minutes, I will call on a volunteer who will kind of share, you all know the drill. They'll share with us something that's going on. I will ask questions just for us to get a lot of information for you to be able to craft questions that you might ask during the session. My invitation to you, I have a couple of invitations to you on this. Number one, use this container today to take time to craft your questions, to think about language that you want to use. As I've said to you before, you always have time in a session. You can always say to a client, "Hold on a second, I want to like really phrase this question in a particular way, give me a moment." But especially today in this space, we have that opportunity to practice in that way. So think about not just what you want to ask, what you want to create awareness on, right? Which is what all questions are, is you're always wanting to ask yourself, what is the next piece of awareness that I want to support my client to become aware of? I just lost my train of thought. So also think about, what are the words? What are the best words that can get them there? If you are a seasoned practitioner, don't rely on all of your old tried and true tricks. You get to have all of your tried and true tricks for your coaching sessions with your clients, your regular questions. But I really want to invite you to use the time today to stretch into new places, really build your questioning muscle, ask things in ways that you normally wouldn't ask. Think about everything we've learned over the last two sessions, be on your edge, incorporate something new. Before we jump in, I want to ask all of you, I'd love to hear some voices, a couple of voices on this. What have you been learning and noticing so far about questioning? Or what's something that you want to celebrate around ways that you've been practicing questioning? So, what's been really resonant? What's been sticking with you? What have you been learning so far about questions? What have you been noticing as you've been experimenting with new things, if you have been in client sessions? Or what do you want to celebrate around questioning? Who'd like to share? Lisa, go ahead.
I could start us off. I celebrate particularly. I really liked your point, Joanna, about when we're doing a bit of consulting or advice giving to ask a question at the end of that. So I've been trying to do that every time as best I can.
Yeah, great. And how has it been going? What have you been noticing?
It's been really good because it feels like the energy, it's actually changed the energy of the whole call, strangely. I say
How
strangely, it's
so?
the energy feels more like a shared energy, and it seems the energy is higher. I can't describe it any better than that. It's like it's operating on a different frequency. I haven't noticed that before.
I love that. I love what you're sharing, and also that you said that it's shifted to a shared energy, and I think that's really significant as well. I really want to honor you for stretching yourself and adding this new piece in. I can tell like you've been working on it and you've been committed to working it, and I'm so glad that you've been getting great results. And as a reminder for everyone, sometimes when we coach, we do need, there are appropriate moments for consulting or facting. That is one of the ways of creating awareness. But even when we do that, we are still not the ultimate expert. Our client always knows best. And even if our client totally loves what we've just facted or consulted on, asking them a question afterwards supports the client to integrate it, to embody it, to go deeper with it, to own it for themselves, or to be like, actually, no. This thing, right? So it allows for their full agency and then embodiment of whatever is going to be important for them. Beautiful. Thank you, Lisa.
Yay, thank you. It's great.
I'm so excited that you're doing it. Yay. Who else? Who's got something to share? Raise your hand in the Zoom if you can so that I catch you because I'm not always seeing all of you all at once. Who wants to share? What have you been noticing about questions? Monique.
On the topic of celebrating wins, I'm still having a hard time with that one. When we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, I thought it was great. I'm like, yeah, of course I can celebrate wins. I could be a good cheerleader for others. And then I realized, oh, I don't think I'm celebrating my own wins. And then I noted it and I thought, okay, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to work on this. And I have been, however, I don't feel like they're my wins. I feel like there's a difference between a win and gratitude. And really, my wins are gratitude. And so I don't feel like it's a win. Can you talk about the difference?
Yeah, can you talk about the difference?
Well, for me,
Just so you know, I love what you're sharing. And yes, 100%. And I want you, I'll use my using my questioning skills, I want you to define it for yourself. So, what are you seeing as the difference between a gratitude and a win?
well, I'll tell you when it first came up. Again, when it came to my awareness, I thought, oh, well, I need to find the wins. And I thought, okay, I can't do one a day. That's just not possible. So let me try one a week. And my win was my grandfather's birthday. Like, how awesome that he's still here. And my grand so both my grandparents have health issues. My grandma's dying right now. So it's like, oh, I get another week with my grandparents, not just one, but both. Like, this is awesome. It's not mine. It's theirs. But it is kind of mine, but it felt more like gratitude. Again, my neighbors just moved out. No more party people. Yes, but I didn't do that.
Yeah. So tell me if I'm getting this right. What I think I'm hearing is that the way that you're defining the difference between a gratitude and a win is that a gratitude is when it's like somebody else has sparked it and you're feeling gratitude for it, versus a win is it's initiated by you. It's something
Correct.
that you've done or you've achieved or you've shifted in a certain way or you've thought or believed or felt. Am I
Yeah,
getting that right?
correct.
And then I think what I'm also hearing, and tell me if I'm getting this right, is that there's a desire for you to be able to acknowledge, not just because I gave the assignment, but I'm hearing like there's a real desire for you to be able to acknowledge things that are being initiated inner or outer level by you.
Yeah, I think because of the assignment, it's making me think about it a little bit more.
Why is it important for you, aside from because the teacher assigned it?
I can say that I'm living a different life now. I used to live in New York, big city life, big city girl, and now I live in Hawaii, super slow paced, less stress, no hustle. And so I'm having a hard time, I guess, counting those wins. They're farther and fewer between. Maybe I don't, or I guess the wins are different.
Ah, talk about how the winds are different.
I don't even know. I guess the way I value success or my achievements is different,
Yeah.
right? I'm stepping into this new version of working.
Yes. So I'm actually getting chills as you're speaking right now, Monique, because I think you're hitting on something really important here about the celebrating the wins, but even bigger than that, which is that, of course, if you apply your old definition of success and your old definition of wins and like what it lives to looks like to lead a great life or whatever, of course you're not going to find many in your current life. Because you've so courageously and beautifully committed to a different definition of success and a
Yeah.
different definition of win. And tell me if I'm getting this right. I think that this exercise with the wins, the reason why it's so important to you and you're bringing it up here is because it's like, this is the next part of the process for you. It's like part of you has already shifted from the old success to the new success, but now the next step is about you really owning and valuing it in an even deeper level.
Yeah, I think valuing. I think that's a good word for it.
So my tell me if this lands. My invitation for you over this week is to go back and note a win or two, but from this new definition of success. I have a feeling you're gonna find way more than one or two when you look at your pace, when you look at the decisions that you're making about your time and your energy, when you look at what activities you're doing. How does that feel? Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, thanks for bringing it forward. And it's great that Monique brought this forward just from on the topic of questions, right? So I could have, when Monique asked, just said, okay, well, this is what wins are and this is what gratitudes are, right? And made that difference and not asked questions. I could have just consulted and, right? But that wouldn't have supported Monique in seeing this important piece of the shift from the old definition to the new definition. Which I think Monique is a win in and of itself that you've even been able to shift that. That is work for some people that they can never unwind. Good. All right. So, love to hear one more thought on questions, specifically on questions, a celebration about questions, or something that you're learning or playing with, or something that's been resonating about questions. Or anything that you noticed in the conversation with Monique and I around questions that you want to pull out. Angie.
I think what I'm learning is that questions really are the heart and the soul of everything that we're doing with our clients. That everything, it's a medium for getting them back inside of themselves and finding their own wisdom. And so I feel like this is the most important skill that we're learning here. And I would venture to say that many of the individuals in this program probably have always had a lot of, or at least would probably tend to lead with curiosity in their everyday lives already. But this is just like taking it to another level and honing in on it. And it's what I will say is it's making me super conscious of the way that I'm showing up, not just with clients and in coaching situations, but with my child, with my friends, like how it's impacting my life everywhere right now, because I'm always so quick to provide what I think is being asked for in terms of guidance. And it really is it's something to hone in on how not to do that. So I don't know, it's just really shifting my relationship with conversation in every aspect of life.
I love it. I love that you're applying it in different ways. That is a reminder again for me to ask my kids more questions, which I forget. You know, I mean, and how that curiosity versus that rush to give the answer. So there's so much more oftentimes that can be discovered and received in that space. Yeah, and in a lot of ways, coaching is at the heart of it, and everything else that we, all the techniques that we're going to be learning from here on out, coaching is at the, questioning is at the heart of all of them. Gaia.
Hey. I always feel nervous. I don't know why. Just, okay. So I had this feel, I got this sense, and I have this feeling that it really hit me right now, as I sat here listening, that questioning is deeply and directly linked to listening. I mean, I never saw it the way it just came up right now as like a whoa. So it's really about a depth of listening to actually hear the question. Do you know what I mean? So even though I'll have the guidelines, I'll have to really hear the person, listen and feel through them, and then I'm like, oh. So it made me think of my partner and I in the coaching in this course, my coaching partner. It's been many weeks now. And I find it fascinating that almost every time, except for maybe twice or so, usually when you come to coaching, you might have something you want to work on. Usually that's the way it would be. But so many times, it has not worked out that way. We will start by saying, hi, how was your week? Maybe my partner is there and she's listening. But, and then in the middle of her speaking, I go, oh. And then I just find what's happening with her. And we're just having a little conversation before we get to what she might even want to discuss for this week. And I'm like, so I said, I hope you don't mind, but when we were just talking, I heard something. It was so powerful that I just, can I ask you something? And then that is our session. I'm not saying it's going to be like that all the time, but I find that so fascinating. That in listening in a conversation, you can actually hear what's the essence of what somebody's, you know what I mean?
Yes, I love that you're bringing this up. So there's a few pieces, first of all, so beautifully done. And there's a few pieces that I want to bring forward. So first of all, absolutely, like we can't do anything in coaching, questioning included, if we're not using our listening skills. Everything builds on energetics and listening, everything. And this, like we've looked at listening to our clients and then listening to ourselves. In when we coach, and this is different than therapy, and I know Gaia, your work isn't like exactly coaching, so you know, use law of adaptation, this may not apply necessarily to the work that you're doing, but I'll, like, speak to coaching. We do want to have, as we've looked at, a specific like, what is it that the client wants to receive, or what is it that the client wants to take away or walk away with by the end of the session? Now, sometimes when we ask that in the beginning of the session, what is it that you would like to receive, or, you know, what would you like to walk away with? The client is like, knows exactly. And a lot of times that happens. I want this, 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 and that, or I just, you, four things is probably too much. I want this or this and that. And then we go for it. Other times, we're going to ask that question to a client and they're not going to know right away. Mm-hmm. And then that's what you were sharing. So then we can exactly apply. So then we can say to them, well, share what's been going on for you. Just what's on your mind. Where are you at? How are you doing? And then we'll use our listening skills. And sometimes just through the talking, the client on their own will be like, oh, wait, that's the thing. And this is what I want to focus on. Other times we'll hear it. And then that's when we want to pause, reflect back what we heard, and then asked, is this what you would like to work on during the session? For coaching, I want to insert that piece, because or else it might be intriguing for the client to explore that thing, but that might not be how they want to spend their time and money for that period of time. So I'll always back it up with, is this what you'd like to look at and receive for our session before actually going into the coaching of it?
That is brilliant. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That is fantastic. You just shifted my thought around that. Yeah, because if they're coming specifically to work on something, but in conversation, you might find something else. So thank you. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that. Yeah.
Good. Okay, so all this being said, we're going to go into our practicum. Remember to be thinking about all the things that we've looked at, you know, not like really since the beginning of the program. As Gaia said, all of the listening skills, check your filters as you go to craft questions, listen to yourself as well as the client. Think about, what do I want to create awareness on? That will lead to great questions. What is it that I want to create awareness on for this client? Remember to ask questions without expecting a particular answer or outcome. Remember, I mean, I'm not going to go through everything that we've learned, but, you know, just yes or no questions can sometimes keep things too narrow. We want to think about the principle of choice. We want to think about connecting dots. We want to think about the four levels of learning and transformation. Does the client need a mental question? Do they need to connect emotionally to something greater than themselves, to their body? Pay attention to language, tonality, all of it. Don't get overwhelmed, even as I say, bring all of that in. At the end of the day, then just go with what you're hearing from your client and yourself and what you want to create awareness on. I'm going to get my notebook. Who would like to volunteer to be our client today? Who's got something that they'd like to get clarity on or something that they want to work on? Just raise your hand. Jennifer, thanks for volunteering. You there? Oh, I think you have to take yourself off mute.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so as a reminder, I'm going to try very hard not to coach. I might a little bit because I can't help it. But if there are moments where you're like, oh my gosh, I wish she would like validate that or reflect that or whatever, and I don't, it's because I'm kind of just asking questions to give us all material.
Sure, I volunteered because I do think questions are going to help me work this out. So it should be really good. But I have a new opportunity that I wasn't expecting to have, and I'm really nervous about it, but I'm also excited about it. I'm going to be facilitating a group of people that I maybe know two of the people. Mm-hmm. And the rest of them I consider my peers. And I've been asked to be sort of like a mediator because there's at least one person that in this situation traditionally dominates, which I found out after I accepted the opportunity. So I guess I'm just wanting to believe in my ability to do this and not let the fear keep me from tapping into it, because I know that I can do it. And I don't want to be overwhelmed with so many fears that I can't show up that day. And I'm going to be doing it on a regular basis, a monthly basis. So it's the first one, I think, that's got me a little bit anxious.
Okay, great. Good. So share with us first just a little bit more about, you said some of these people are your colleagues or equal. Share with us just a little bit more about the situation and
who okay, sure.
and the players, whatever feels important to you.
Yeah, I work in an international organization, and this is actually a volunteer position, but it is directly related to what my coaching business is. So it's very complimentary and I really like it. But when I said they're my peers, we're all parent support volunteers for parents that are currently going through having a child with an eating disorder. So we either respond via forums or emails when parents write in with their problems, and we use our lived experience to provide resources and to give not opinions, and we're not directive at all, but just to say, this is what we did, or this worked for me. And it's a one-on-one thing. And that's what I do coaching. I do one-on-one, and I do this one-on-one email support. I feel very comfortable with that, but I'm not used to doing it, and they're my peers. So we all do the same job. And I recently took on some more responsibility just to help with interviewing new volunteers. And this kind of got put into the mix when I suggested it would be really great if we could have monthly support meetings, because I think a lot of our volunteers get overwhelmed because of the nature of this work. It can be very triggering. And so having each other's support would be great. She's like, great, go for it. Why don't you, I'm going to have you run it. and I knew I shouldn't say no. And then I realized what I did. I was like, oh no. So that's, I don't feel like I have like that position of more experience or more authority than anyone else on the call. And so I'm mostly just facilitating it. And I think if I just get the conversation going and call on different people to, well, the way that we decided to do it is we're just going to ask, what was one of the most challenging situations that you had this month? And we're just going to try to provide each other support around that, like if it was triggering for them.
Yeah.
So that's.
Yeah. Wow. First, just what an amazing organization. It feels just so powerful. What are you scared of?
I guess that I'm going to do it wrong. I know there's not a right or wrong, but or that I may let the person that I was warned about overpower me. Those are probably my two mm-hmm. biggest fears.
Yeah. that you'll do it wrong, or that that person that can take charge, you might like let them overpower you. Where else in your life do you know this experience from? Either that you're not fully believing in your abilities, or you're scared that you're going to do it wrong, or that you don't know how to let someone overpowering, you don't know how to set those boundaries.
I definitely have a pattern of those thoughts of what if I don't do it right, or what if someone is more powerful than I am. I would definitely tend to, in most situations, since I haven't really been in a position of authority in a long time. I mean, I definitely have, but it's been a long time. I think that I've let a lot of self-doubt creep in over time, just from lack of putting myself out there and just kind of hiding. And this is just not something that I would say I'm an expert on doing. Although a long time ago, I was trained as a mediator. I am an attorney. I went to law school. I've argued a lot. I just haven't practiced since for 20 years, I haven't practiced. So rusty, I guess. I never really liked conflict. I enjoyed mediation way more than I liked like the zero sum, someone wins and someone loses game. So I will definitely not overpower. And so I guess I don't want someone to overpower me, but I can't guarantee that they're not going to.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna just jump around with different threads just so that we can all get a lot of information. I just forgot what I was gonna say. Hold on a second. It struck me that you said, first you said, I don't have any expertise in this. And then you were like, actually, I'm a mediator and a lawyer. Talk a little bit more about what that's about. There's like a dissonance there. And you came around to it. But I have a sense that the first thing that you said is more like your go-to way of thinking.
It is. I think I just am not in that role in my life. And I can conjure up memories of, oh, what was it like to be that woman? What was it like to be her? And I do have to say, when my daughter got the eating disorder, it was almost like an automatic loss of confidence. And because I was the mom and I was the parent and I was like CEO of my family, my husband's career is very demanding. And so I had like complete, and he also used to be in the military. So there were like 6 months stretches where he wasn't even around. It was all me. My CEO status, I really enjoyed. I enjoyed that. However, I lost a lot of confidence when she got sick, and it was like I had to learn to parent a whole new way. And that's the last 5 years have been that, other than me building up my coaching business. That's been my kind of new role, if that makes sense. And so I have less recent experience feeling that confidence and control, I guess, and getting any type of feedback for that role that would cause me to feel like, yeah, no problem, I got this.
Got it. And tell me, I might be not hearing this correctly, but just for myself and everyone, in case I am, it almost feels like there's a piece here where there's something about that loss of confidence when your daughter started experiencing all of this, and then how that's showing up in like this being in a role of authority too. It feels like there's a connection there.
Maybe, yeah, right? You're getting that right. And it is my own way of thinking about it. I know that it's still there though, that somehow I wasn't as good of a mom, even though I tell every parent, this is not your fault. This has absolutely nothing to do with anything you did or didn't do as a parent. It was kind of like the rug's just pulled out from under you. Your world's turned upside down. And you're like, what, how could this be happening to my child and my family? Yeah. And I kind of, if I could compare it to anything, it's kind, I kind of felt like I was just shell-shocked for a while. And I would like go through, I would still go to whatever meetings I needed to go to, do whatever I needed to do, talk to whoever I needed to talk to, but I wasn't really there. And I was, and it just shifted the way I looked at everything about, you know, what's important and what's not important. And I thought maybe I had cleaned that up, but this opportunity is kind of making me see that maybe I do still need to go back and conjure up some of that belief in myself and my ability and not let, and she's doing really well now. So that's the thing. It's like almost like an aftermath. Like you get through all the tough parts and then you stop for a second and realize she's okay. So now I'm going to like go through all the stuff that I didn't go through at the time because I had to be really strong.
Yeah. I can, just as you're talking, I can feel what a committed mama you are and just how you've been on your own journey as you've been holding space for your daughter's journey, and I can feel how big it's been.
Yeah.
I'm gonna jump around again. This fear aside of like, I might not be able to do it and somebody might overpower me. If that wasn't a factor, how do you feel about stepping into this role as this facilitator for these calls?
I love it. It's what it's my favorite thing to do probably, which is also kind of silly that I'm this nervous about it. But if I can help people just like bring out the best in themselves, whether it's one-on-one or in a group, I am just in my element. And I have a lot of respect for all of these people. And so that's probably why I feel a little bit intimidated. Like, I really hope that I'm able to do that. Cause I think if this is done in a way that's supportive to them, that it's going to really help connect us as a community, because we're all working for the same cause. However, we do it independently. So we don't always get that sense of community as much. And so that's, I mean, I love it other than the fear. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, good. Again, I'm just gonna be jumping around. Where else in your life do you know this feeling of it's scarier because these might not be the right words, I'm using my words and you can change it. It's scarier because I have to perform in front of people that I respect a lot.
I mean, I think that's an ongoing theme my whole life. I have not always taken every opportunity because of that fear, but most likely the core of that would just go back to childhood of feeling like I never quite got there as far as what my dad wanted me to do. And I've gotten therapy for this. So, I mean, I've worked on it a lot, and I feel like, except for the very deepest level, I'm pretty good with being able to step back and say, it's good enough for me though. It may not be quite what he was looking for, but I think that's the core of it, is that, you know, if I told him that I'm going to do this, which I have not told him that I've taken on this new opportunity, he would want to know how much I was getting paid. And that would be like the most important part for him, not who am I helping and why am I doing it? Or the fact that I was asked to do it. It would just be like, well, that's probably not that great then if I'm not making a lot of money. And I respect him a lot. I respect my dad a lot. And I respected him my whole life growing up and wanted to get his approval. Yeah. So that's some of it, I think.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I think your parents and my parents went to the same school of whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I'll take your condolences. Thank you. Tell us about a time in your life where you were scared that you were gonna do it wrong, but you somehow found belief in yourself and in your abilities.
Well, I think when I switched from a corporate job into nonprofit sector, we're going back like 25 years at least. And again, it was the judgment of you're going to do what? You're going to make less money and you're going to do what? And I ended up working for a women's shelter. It was for a women's shelter in Arlington, Texas. And I was just on a grant to begin with. So I gave up my high-paying business job, which I hated, by the way, to do something that was very low paying and that wasn't even a guaranteed permanent position because I wanted to, and because it just seemed really important to me. And it was a March of Dimes grant that I had to write, which I had no curriculum writing experience at the time. I was pretty young in my 20s. And I was like, I think I can figure it out. And so I worked to write a curriculum, and it was training healthcare providers on domestic violence during pregnancy and how the risk factors go up and what physicians and nurses could be looking for, and just mostly to let them know what resources were available if they did have women that they were afraid were in abusive relationships. And I was, in my 20s and going out and doing these presentations to doctors and nurses. And I felt pretty much exactly like how I feel right now. I was very scared that I was going to do it wrong, or they weren't going to take me seriously, or that I just wouldn't be able to get the words out. And I ended up loving it. I ended up staying and writing another curriculum for the women's shelter. And I got to be a legal advocate. And that's what made me decide to go to law school. I got to be a legal advocate. When someone was on maternity leave, it was like a substitute position. And I was like, I've got to do more to help people. This is terrible that more can't be done to help these women. And so that's a long time ago example, but the feelings are very similar.
That's, I mean, every part of your story, I think, is so incredible. What was one of the learnings that you took from that experience about believing in yourself?
I think that mostly that it's okay to not have direct experience, but to pool all of your resources, including asking other people to help you, which I'm not very good at still, but I did do that. So you cannot know how to do something and still do it, I guess is what I would say to answer that question. So this is kind of, I mean, this is exactly the same thing. Yeah, I needed you to help me put that together. So it's doable even without direct experience.
Great. Okay, good. Let me see if there's anything else I wanted to ask. Is there anything else that you want to share with us that feels important?
I guess just any tips anyone has for if someone is dominating, a way to gently interrupt in a respectful way. I think I can intuitively do it. I really do. I'm diplomatic, but yeah, that's my, I mean, I think if I had sort of a plan, I would really help me feel more secure. So that's really the only thing. And I can probably research a little bit about that ahead of time and get some ideas. So.
So, okay, good. So everyone, Jennifer, sometimes when I'm talking, I'm hearing a little bit of feedback from, okay, it's better now. Everyone, at a later date, we can give Jennifer tips. I have some too, but for today, what I want y'all to think about is what questions can you ask Jennifer? Like, one of the types of questions that you might be wanting to write down is, what are some good questions that can help this client source that knowing and the confidence of that knowing of what to do when someone dominates from herself? Okay. All right, so I'm gonna give us all a couple minutes now to continue crafting questions. Jennifer, if you want to put, you don't have to, but if you wanna put your practitioner hat on and craft some questions for yourself, please feel free to do so. And then we'll come back together in 2-3 minutes and we'll take a look at the questions that are coming through.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Of course, thank you. Thank you for being willing to share. All right, I'm gonna craft some questions too. And again, as a reminder, use the time and space to really think about words and how you want to ask things. Keep on going, see if you can find another couple questions. All right. Do you need a few more moments? Yeah? Okay, I'll give us all another minute or two. Okay, so I want to hear what questions you've come up with. And as a reminder, there are no bad questions, right? So even if you're not sure, this is the space to share, to experiment, for us to look. I will make some comments on things. But this is really for all of our learning. So I just want to invite you not to hold back and share. And the invitation is let's share voice to voice versus in the chat so that we can really give each person's share, question share, you know, the honor and the space it deserves. And when you raise your hand, share one question. And then if you've got others, you can re-raise your hand after that. Natalie's going to start us off.
I have 1.5 questions. It's kind of related. So I'll just go.
Fine. You can have 1.5.
Jennifer, your story is inspiring and I'm so excited for you. When you were talking with Joanna, you used the phrase, I like to help people bring the best out in themselves. And so tell me if I'm getting this right. But it sounds to me from what you shared in that and other things you shared, that you are really driven by your impact versus like income or performance even. And so my invitation to you with that is, if I'm right about that, is to see how you can use your value, your core value, let's say it's service or whatever that value might be, to dispel the fear of failing with the new group, because it's not about performing. Everything you shared was about helping and serving. And so it's almost like that narrative of performing is not yours. So my invitation is, how can you reframe that? And then as you reframe that, what does successful facilitation look like in that scenario?
Nice. I love the insights that, first of all, just the insights that you're bringing in and this connection, which also has to do with all the work that Jennifer's done around her dad and his beliefs, were like what really drives Jennifer. It came out so clearly is her passion and her commitment and her values. And so I love that you're making that connection. So there's that creating awareness. And then the question was good, but it had a lot of words and it was muddled. So I want to give you a moment right now. And after the context and the creating awareness through the reflections, what's the question that you want to ask with as few words as possible? It's okay. We're just experimenting and practicing here. It's all good. This is for all of our learning. And it's because you're bringing something so powerful forward. So I want to give you that opportunity.
Yeah, and this is a challenge for me, Joanna. Like I have all the insights and all that, but it's like how to distill it down is the challenge for sure. The question I want to ask you, Jennifer, is based on your true values, how can you use that to dispel the fear with this opportunity?
Yeah, I think you got a lot closer. So it might be, and this is always awkward because you're asking after the fact. So it might be the first question is, what is the top value that you're bringing? And then once that's identified, how can you use that value to dispel your fear? Or another way of asking that question is, when you are fully embodying that value, what is the higher wisdom about the fear? That would be a really powerful way to go. Good.
I love that version. Yeah.
Good. Really nicely done. Thank you. Lisa.
Jennifer, thank you so much for sharing about all of that. I know you from one of our other small groups, so it was so lovely to hear even more about you. And my question for you, we heard a lot of detail. If this project, is it okay to call it a project, Jennifer? I wasn't sure if it was a project or a piece of work. So with this project, if you could have the outcome be whatever way you want it to be, what would be your sort of ideal vision for this, of how it all turns out?
I missed one word in there, Lisa. What was the word before vision?
Ideal.
Ideal. Beautiful. Yeah, really nice question around visioning and supporting the client to move into what is it that they really want to have happen here, which is oftentimes a step closer into actually embodying that. Nice. Gaia.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, I want to touch on the part about this particular person, which is what Jennifer towards the end was saying. This is where she felt there was some challenge for her. What
Gaia,
was the word?
I'm gonna stop you there. Talk directly to Jennifer.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I wanted to find the word. I forgot it. About this particular person in the group. Was it, was the word, did you say domineering? I don't think that's the word that was used.
You said dominating and overpowering.
Dominating and overpowering. Okay, very good. So the question I wanted to ask you, Jennifer, is have you had direct experience with this person? And have you personally found them to be this way? Because when I was listening, I thought you had heard this from others about that person. I wasn't sure if you had direct experience with them. So that's my first question would be, have you had direct experience with them? And have you personally found them to be this way?
Nice. Yeah, I love this is creating awareness around, okay, well, these ideas and these beliefs that it's going to be hard and this person is so overpowering and domineering and all of that, like, what, you know, what has your experience been? As you were asking, I was kind of like going back and forth, Gaia, between, because those were yes and no questions and could they be opened up? But I think in this situation, the yes and no can help create some awareness there.
Right. And then I have the question to open it up would be if you answered these questions, Jennifer, then my next thing to you would be I got this question from you, Joanna. Anyway, it would be, what would be the best possible outcome? What would the best possible outcome look like with this particular person in this situation going forward? Those are my questions.
Yeah, beautiful. I love that. And that last piece, again, opening, similar to Lisa, opening up to a vision, and then you can kind of strategize and look deeper from there. Good. Lisa.
Jennifer, my question ties in a little bit to the one about when you're fully embodying that value, what does it look like? But my question is, what does it feel like in your body when you're fully in alignment with your purpose of helping others?
Beautiful. Yeah, really.
Can you
nice.
Feel it? What would it feel like? Yeah.
Yeah, really nice. There were a couple of things, and we'll look as we go along, there were a couple of things that Jennifer said that were like real moments of, okay, this is a great intellectual idea. There's a great, she just said something really beautifully cognitively or kind of led to something, but now part with the four levels of learning and processing, how can we help the client embody more deeply what she's saying and really feel it? Good. Fenshen.
Hi. Jennifer is really struck by your story and thinking a lot about your relationship with your daughter in inspired my question. So what I would like to know is, what about your journey through your daughter's recovery can be a resource to you when and if fear arises in this new journey?
Beautiful. Beautiful question. I think you can shorten the words at the end a little bit, like, you know, my Virgo self is like, how can we always edit and take out? But other than that,
I added to what I wrote down too.
Yeah, less, almost always
less is more.
Less is more. But yes. I love the heart of that question, especially with everything that Jennifer shared with us. And it's like a beautiful question that connects a lot of dots and threads, not just the believing more in her abilities. So really, really nicely done. Good. Who else? Don't be shy. What are some other questions that came through? Let's take a look at them. Julie.
Jennifer, like everyone else so far, I also am just so inspired by your story and the work that you do and have done. And please stop me, Joanna, if it seems like my question is going a little bit too far in like the personal direction. I feel like I'll bring it around to being relevant to this specific piece with this new role that you're in. Or stepping into, but I noticed when you were speaking, Jennifer, about the time in your life when your husband was often away for work and you were in the role, you felt like you were in a role of like CEO of your family and you liked that role, and that time coincided with when your daughter began her struggle with her eating disorder. I wondered if, along with concerns as a mother, like, why is this happening to my family, or how is this happening to my family? You were also maybe, what I was sensing as you were speaking at that time was a sense of grief in you around this this aspect of your motherhood. And I'm wondering if that feels right, or if I'm getting that right. Does that resonate at all?
So, Julie, I think there's a lot of intuition in there. What I'm wondering, and that you may have it, but I haven't heard it, I didn't hear it in the question, is how can that question support the client to what they said they wanted to receive, which is belief in their ability?
Well, so that is the next part, which is I'm just wondering whether that piece of your story, Jennifer, where you were and maybe still maybe holding grief around that piece of your journey, maybe influencing or impacting your confidence level around showing up in this role.
Nice, good. So I would focus on that second question. I think you don't even need the first to get to the second. And if you use the words in the beginning, how might, if it's like just a no for the client, they'll just be like, nah, I don't think so. But it's kind of like a condensed way of getting there and like focusing on that. What is it that they want to receive? Really nice. So this idea of looking at where, you know, in that whole journey with Jennifer's daughter, are there still places that are holding her back now? Yeah, nice. Good. Natalie. Sorry, and then Lisa. Natalie and Lisa.
I think Lisa had her hand up first. That's why.
It's okay. First I didn't see it. That's what I was saying. And then Lisa, but you go ahead.
This is a short, very short question. So Jennifer, you were sharing about how it's been so long since you've had a role where you had to take on authority. And so my question to you is, what activities can you do or partake in between now and when that group starts, or in the duration of that time, that would help you embody this new version of yourself as a facilitator. I was going to say as an authority figure, but I don't want to trigger you with that word. So I'll say as a facilitator for this group.
Nice. Yeah. Nice strategizing question. For sure. And that type of strategizing question, like if this were a coaching session, that wouldn't be one of the first questions I would ask. That would come towards the end once we've worked through some of those inner threads. And then that's like a great, okay, now what can you do? Beautiful. Lisa.
Jennifer, I was wondering about your being a mother. There's times when the kids are trying to dominate, or there have been in the past. And I wonder if you've got your superpowers around that and how they might apply in this different setting.
I love it. Such a great question. Looking for a client's resources from Lisa's listening skills, right? She heard and there's a resource, and then creating awareness around that superpower, that resource, and then applying it to a current situation. Nicely done. Angie.
Sorry, I was trying to find my unmute here, trying to get everything on one screen. There is a thread here, Jennifer, that I'd like to pull on a little bit with the way your father has shown up for you throughout your life in terms of questioning some of your choices. And I'm wondering if there might be something to explore with regard to how this challenging individual might be showing up in those situations that could kind of be addressed through how you found your own power with your father. And I'm wondering if there's anything there that you might feel is worth exploring.
I love this thread. Very, very powerful. And how you asked the question, Angie, it was like in long form, is fine. I'm just being nitpicky for all of our sakes today. Ask the question again in as few words as you can, even without context.
That's a good one for me, because that's a real strength or something I need strengthened. So with regard to this person that is a challenge for you, Jennifer, I've heard you talk about how you've employed some really powerful tactics with your father over the years, and I'm wondering how you might be able to do that here if you run into a challenging situation as well.
Yeah, beautiful, good. Or even shorter form could be something like, what have you learned from your experience with your father about overcoming dominating individuals that you can apply here?
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, nice. Good. Who else? These are all so great and just such so many different, and this is what I love about coaching too, so many different insights in and ways in too, right? There's no just one right way. I feel like there's some more questions that want to be shared. Who else? Anyone else want to share? Lisa, I'm going to hold on you for one moment to see if someone who hasn't yet shared wants to. Remember, there's no wrong here. It's for all of our learning. All right, Lisa.
And so, Jennifer, my question for you would be, if you did do it wrong, what is the worst thing that would happen in the moment?
Nice, I love it. Taking it to like worst case scenario to support a client and seeing that they would actually still be okay. Might take a couple questions to get there, but that's the direction. Nicely done. Doris. There we go.
I have two questions, sorry. The first question, where is it? I'm sorry, I've been writing all the questions. The first question, I cannot find it. I'm going for the second one. How can, Jennifer, how can you use the perception you have about this person specifically for your benefit and the benefit of the group. Ooh. And I will try to find the other question, because I felt like it was very important too. And this is related to other questions that others have asked you, but what would you support you in feeling more confident about this opportunity? So those two questions, thank you.
Two really beautiful questions. Really, really nice. I love that first one. I didn't go anywhere near there with the questions that I put together. And it's such a great insight and opening of awareness. Nice. Anyone else? Wendy.
Hi. So I have a scale question, two actually. One would, Jennifer, would be on a scale of 1 to 10, how fearful of being overpowered by your peer are you really? Mm-hmm. And then the second would be on that same scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you in your ability to handle it?
I love those. I'm so glad scale questions made their way in. Thank you, Wendy. My favorite types of questions. And two really great moments for supporting the client to actually discern a little bit more between the story and the truth inside of themselves. Nicely done. Good. Anyone else? We've got time for one more. Okay, I'm gonna share a couple more. A lot of you hit on some great things, and just a couple more. So earlier, Lisa asked a question that really activated the emotional and heart level of learning and processing. And I think there was a number of opportunities in there. So another great moment is I would have, after Jennifer said, the thing that one of the things that she's learned is that you cannot know how to do something and still do it, I would pause there and I would say, like, ooh, I really want to reflect back to you what I just heard. And I would reflect it back slowly. You cannot know how to do something and still do it. And I want to invite you to feel where you know that truth inside of your body. Where does that live inside of you? And then go from there. We might do some more body somatic pieces. Similar to Natalie, but Natalie's first share, but just like with a little bit of a different spin. I also heard that passion and commitment in the story with the corporate to the shelter and how that really carried Jennifer. So I might in that moment ask, how can you leverage your passion and commitment for the group right now in order to be able to believe in your abilities? Another question I had was, what is your highest level inner father know about your ability to facilitate these calls? If your daughter were in this exact situation, what would you want her to know about herself and her ability to do this? And then a question of connecting into Jennifer, your inner mediator, and asking your inner mediator what they know about domineering personalities and how to create boundaries with them. All right, we've just been talking about you so much, Jennifer. Tell us, you know, even though we haven't been doing full coaching, we've been reflecting too and asking questions. What has this been like for you? What are some things that you really are receiving from this?
Oh, I almost didn't raise my hand, and I'm just so grateful that I did. I just thank you, everyone, so much. I mean, my first reaction is these people are brilliant. Just everything that you all tapped into, it was just right on the money. And I was hopeful that just by making myself kind of be present here, that that I would receive a lot. And I mean, it exceeded my expectations. And I didn't even connect some of the threads that you all helped me connect. And I do think that the somatic piece is really key for me. I don't know how y'all picked up on that, but I am very cognitive. And I tend to skip that part. And whoever it was multiple of you that said, if you can connect to where it is in your body, when you're aligned with your values and try to use that to believe in yourself, like if I could do that, just love every minute of it, I think, regardless of what anybody is doing or saying, because that is, I mean, why I'm doing it is that because of my values. So that, I mean, just every part of it was helpful. Thank you all so much.
Yay. I'm so glad. I'm so happy to hear it. And not surprised, because the questions were amazing and brilliant. And I hope that this really kind of exhibited for everyone the power of questions and what they can do. So I'd love for each of you to take a moment right now and write down at least one new thing or takeaway or new understanding or thing that's hitting you around questions. What's something that you're really taking away around questioning or around coaching from this session too? It's feeling important. And I'd love to hear, we've got a couple minutes, which is great for takeaways. I'd love to hear from some of you. What are you taking away? What's feeling important? What are you seeing or learning? Yeah, Natalie's saying the importance of tapping into a client's body wisdom. So, you know, to echo that and what Jennifer was just saying, don't forget about the four levels of learning and processing. It can be too easy to keep a whole session on the cognitive level for a lot of people, which is great, but bringing it to how can I support the client to connect with this emotionally? How can I support the client to feel it in their body? How can I connect what is coming through for the client to something bigger than themselves? So trust is cultivated. That's going to help everything that comes through on the cognitive go so much further. Doris is saying less is more as far as wording questions. Absolutely. And like I said, I was nitpicky with some of you on this call, but just so you know, I can be very wordy myself. It's something that I'm always working on as well. No myth of perfection there, but it is a good game, like a helpful game, I should say, you know, after a session to go back and think about some of the questions that you asked and kind of play with how could I ask that in even fewer questions. Sometimes we need more words, but oftentimes the more direct is going to impact in a different way. Good. Who else? who wants to share? And you can also, happy to hear voice to voice as well. What are you taking? Lisa's saying using the different categories of questions and the four levels is a lot like making music. I love that. The sum is greater than the parts, and it's fun and beautiful. Yeah, it keeps it interesting for sure. Jennifer saying, I'm taking away the importance of helping a client see they are whole and complete as they are. Your question showed me connections within myself that I wasn't seeing. I was so happy. And yes, it's so important to keep on coming back to them. Nina saying, clear and simple questions makes them more receptive. Yes. And Angie is saying, like I was saying at the beginning, listening is crucial. Absolutely. If you want to be able to show up well, you can't listen in a half-baked way and expect to be able to support your client. It's so true. Good. Well, the invitation is to continue practicing your questioning, practice with your partners, practice in your client sessions, and practice with yourself. So, you know, take some time to write, if you were coaching you, what are some journaling questions you want to ask yourself? And then if you have time, answer those questions. Julie's saying in the chat to be mindful that questions are really framed about specific things that the client has shared and how to support them, that they're seeking support around. Yeah, absolutely. We want, and it definitely can be looser, you know, it doesn't have to be so tight. We need that looseness to get to things, but we always want to keep in mind, what does the client want to receive? What does the client ultimately want to receive, right? And have our questions be leading in that direction. Anything that anyone needs for me before we wrap for today? All right, we did it with 2 minutes to spare. Yay! I hope you all enjoy as you continue to play with questions. And we are starting a new module next week. I can't wait. We're going to be looking at visioning and strategizing. So have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. And Fanshin, yeah, I'm going to turn off the recording and answer your question.